This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I remember them well. Singing about Monday, among other days. And today is Monday. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, June the 20th. Wow. A month, we don't have much left. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk to him about the plight of cryptocurrency right now. Do you have any of that cryptocurrency? You know? I do not. In fact, I don't know a lot about it, but we're going to find out something about it. It seems to be in meltdown. That I know. And whether government needs to step in or not to help it. So we'll talk with John about that in just a few minutes. And Joe Biden continues to boast he's led the greatest job recovery in American history. Have you heard him? Well, we're going to give a couple of guys the chance to congratulate him. The proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci, and probably his brother Angelo, our eye in the northern sky, a little bit later in the show. So stay tuned for that congratulatory series of comments. And the governing body for international swimming rules on transgender swimmers. They have come up with a decision on that. We are going to talk about it. We're going to look at it. We're going to judge whether or not it makes any sense. Stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, I have found a poll that claims to be the most brutally honest ranking of NFL quarterbacks. The top 10 greatest NFL quarterbacks, okay? Brutally honest. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. And I have never found a better place for a haircut. Men, I recommend them. They are located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Remember that. And call for your appointment. They're busy because they're good. 727-733-3773. All right, so it's been kind of a strange weekend. We're going to talk later, of course, about our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning. They're hanging by a thread right now. They're in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. But in the meantime, we got a lot of things going on. One of them is this: when are they going to rule on the abortion thing? I wish they would get that out and over with. I wish it was over with, but the Supreme Court is holding on to that opinion, and I'm thinking that they want to get out of town as quickly as possible, as soon as it's done. So that's what I'm thinking, but it's not come out yet. In the meantime, we got all these pro-choice protesters congregating not just outside Brett Kavanaugh's home. They are now outside Amy Coney Barrett's home in Virginia. They were there on Saturday. Some were dressed in clothing appearing to be soaked with blood and holding baby doll toys.
And they were teens, too, weren't they? They were kids.
Were there kids out there as well?
Yeah. They were holding dolls.
I mean, come on, man, as Joe Biden would say, although he's not going to say anything. Here's some one of the signs: abortion on demand and without apology. That's one of them. Members of the group Rise Up For, number four, abortion rights. I guess that's a new group. Maybe it's an old group. I don't know. They were armed with baby doll props. They were wearing pants appearing to be soaked in blood to show a future of forced birthing if Roe versus Wade was overturned. You know, it's illegal to be in front of a judge's home while these things are being determined.
Well, it needs to be enforced.
It's not being enforced, of course.
Because if they're young...
Merrick Garland, remember he was going to be our... He was going to go on the Supreme Court. This guy is such a weak, milquetoast kind of a guy. I'm glad he didn't get on. Now, whether or not Mitch McConnell played a little shenanigan to keep him off.
Mm.
You know, Barack Obama was coming to the end of his term, and they used the excuse that no appointment should be made by a president on his way out the door. I'm sure if it was a Republican on his way out the door, Republicans would have howled just as much as Democrats.
Sure.
I really believe that. But here he is in the Justice Department, and what's he doing? What's he doing? I mean, aren't you supposed to be enforcing the rules? You're made head of that. So this is all going on. I wonder if it would really influence a Supreme Court justice. I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe it might, but that would make it even worse that they have succeeded in intimidation. I don't think that that will be the case. We will see. But there's a group called Jane's Revenge. They've been going around throwing red paint and vandalizing pro-life family centers around the country. One was in Madison, Wisconsin. That was one of the first ones. But they've been doing it all over the place. They were, I guess, part of this as well. Other pro-choice activists related to the radical abortion group Jane's Revenge have claimed responsibility for various attacks on pregnancy centers across the country. So we got all of that going on. They always talk about how violent people must be to try to stop women from having abortions. The people that are the most violent are on the other side, intimidating everybody else. It's crazy. It's crazy. In the meantime, as they say, meanwhile, back at the ranch, usually that means I'm going to jump onto another topic, and it has no connection to the first one. Nicaragua approved Russian forces coming into their country to train Russian forces in Nicaragua. They're getting a little close for comfort.
Mm.
And they're going to conduct military drills there with the Nicaraguan army. Just after the U.S. imposed fresh sanctions on officials from Nicaragua.
Well, I guess the only good thing we can say about it, at least it's not Cuba.
Yeah. Now, that would be
really uncomfortable.
That would be very uncomfortable. I don't think that Joe Biden would do anything, though, even if it was Cuba.
Of course not. By the way,
I wonder what Joe Biden would have done in 1962 when Nikita Khrushchev dumped all those missiles, up all those missiles. Remember?
He'd have blamed Trump.
No, my point being, do you think he would have done anything like Kennedy? Well, Kennedy basically said, you get him out of there, we're going to attack you.
Right. By the way, did you see him fall off his tricycle on the weekend?
Yes.
I just want to know what Secret Service man gave him a bicycle. Aren't you supposed to protect the president?
Is he got a three-wheeler or a two-wheeler?
It doesn't matter. He still fell.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, why would you give that man who can barely walk from Air Force One...
Aren't we being a little tough on him?
To the lawn. And
fell off a bike and broke my arm a few years ago. Do you remember that? I went flying.
You're a lot younger than he is. And,
yeah,
you know.
I know, but man, oh man.
But you're not running the country either. You know?
I wish I was. No, actually, I'll take that back. It'd be a mess. It'd be hard.
I mean, there had to have been a meeting just going over that saying, it's just not a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
You couldn't put enough bubble wrap on him to be safe.
I know. Poor guy. I mean, in a way, I'm thinking, you know, the poor guy's trying so much to act hip. And you know when you try so much to act hip, it always comes out the other way, does it not? When you can see someone trying to act younger than they're supposed to.
Remember when he fell?
You know what I mean?
Remember when he fell going up the stairs?
Falling all over the place.
He tripped.
Let's face it.
And then he tried to like jog up there, and then he tripped again,
I mean.
And he tripped again, and not one person went up there to help him.
Well, at least he didn't come tumbling down the stairs. Now that would have been something. Anyway, let us stop with this. The guy's okay apparently because he got right up. But we're gonna jump to another topic. Our buddy John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us, and we're going to talk about the plight of cryptocurrency and whether the government needs to step in.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us here on FreedomWorks. Well, the price of Bitcoin fell by more than 6% in 24 hours. The last time it fell at below the $20,000 level was December 2020. Now, it is part and parcel of what's going on in the stock market, of course. Crypto investors grappling with aggressive interest rate hikes from the Fed and a worsening liquidity crunch that has pushed major players into financial difficulty. Now, most of us don't have anything to do with crypto, but it's become a rather interesting phenomenon. We've got our buddy John Berlow, financial policy expert at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, joining us. We're going to talk a little bit about their woes and whether or not the government should step in and do something about it. John, welcome back to FreedomWorks.
It's always great to be on and talk about my work at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org.
Yes, indeed, sir. You have been there for quite a while, and you're a mainstay. And you're one of the guys we've been talking with for many years. It's always been a pleasure to talk with you, John. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know much about the whole world of cryptocurrency. Like, what is it, Will Rogers? I don't know anything about it except what I read in the newspapers. And so I'm going to have you explain a little bit of that phenomenon. And now, you know, it's been in trouble. I guess it's been in trouble for a while. Maybe it's been in trouble ever since it was formulated. But right now, you know, it's dropping like many other things. Do you think the government has a place in trying to prop this thing up?
I don't think the government should be propping up as far as bailing out either cryptocurrency or the stock market. I mean, people should know that they, you know, if they invest or buy assets, it's at their own risk. You know, they could take the gains or the losses, but they should have the freedom to do that. So people should be free to take their own risk, just as whether they want to use their money for outright gambling or to buy stocks or crypto or art or comic books and whatever, but be willing to take the losses without having a bailout.
I don't even know how you use it. I guess you go online. You've got some sort of an account that sits somewhere, and you can buy and sell things online. I mean, could I?
Yes.
Could I?
From your digital wallets, you can. You know, America and the world really has a tradition of alternative money. If you look at things like I wrote the book recently, George Washington Entrepreneur.
Yes, you did.
Still available on Amazon. And then in his day, they used tobacco when there were problems with continental currency and a shortage of money from Britain. They used tobacco warehouse receipts where you would have it would be good for like a bushel of tobacco, and people would just trade that, use that as alternative money. You've had things before like casino tokens. So this was something that, say, the way major cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin work is it's written its space in the computer code. There are about a certain number of units, and so that was the inflation hedge that, you know, it could be, unless there's a change to the computer code, which there would just change the whole operating system, that it's a fixed amount of money that you could purchase.
Gotcha.
A fixed amount of space that wouldn't be inflated.
Mm-hmm. Could I use cryptocurrency, for instance, to, let's say, go to Amazon and purchase a product? Do they accept it?
I don't know about Amazon, but Overstock.com, a lot of different websites are accepting crypto.
Okay. I gotcha. Ah. So you talk about the fact that the heavy hand of government should move carefully when it comes to regulating the cryptocurrency market. And that's kind of like anything, right, with the government getting involved in the free market. I know you're a free marketeer. So tell us.
Well, I've talked about that and about the fact that arbitrary actions can contribute to the volatility, and that crypto is not unregulated today. Well, first of all the fraud rules, such as, you know, mail fraud and wire fraud, still apply. But the SEC has also been arbitrarily and exceeding Congress doing regulation by enforcement by saying that cryptocurrency is like a security, like a stock, and charging companies, even if they did this years ago, listed cryptocurrencies as unregistered securities. And that itself, in addition to being, you know, sort of violations of, you know, liberty and the Administrative Procedures Act rule of law, I mean, is contributing to the volatility so much that even Democrats like Darren Soto of Florida are saying that the SEC needs to be reined in.
So, speaking about the SEC, now they've raised interest rates 0.75 points. They're probably going to raise another 0.5 point, and maybe after that another 0.25 point or something like that. They're trying to stop inflation. And when we try to stop inflation by making it harder to borrow money, let's put it that way, you then worry about having the opposite effect, which is, I guess, recession. Some people think, John, we're in a recession now. I want to get your take on it as a financial policy expert. Do you think we're already inside something like a recession, or are we moving towards it, or what do you think?
I don't know what the official definition is, but I mean, there definitely seems to be a slowdown, and it's why we need to just lift the, well, you know, punishing the fraudsters, of course, but just lift the red tape, as CEI suggests, on ordinary entrepreneurs, and just let all the innovation that America has keep flowing to get us through this.
Oh, it would be wonderful. I would give anything, maybe in a dream. Biden gets up and says, you know, we're going to start deregulating like crazy. You know, I'm going to start deregulating. We're going to start deregulating more of the energy.
Well, of course, energy especially, but we did this during the pandemic. You know, actually there did, you know, as far as some of the just the, we looked at some of the stupid rules like that have just been, as we call them, never needed, like that you can't deliver a restaurant can't deliver alcohol. So I mean that, and the occupational licensing things as far as physicians and allowed more telemedicine. We need to continue to keep doing that in this crisis.
So does the government have a necessary involvement with cryptocurrency, John? Or should we just completely let the free market work its magic?
The government has an involvement as libertarians and, you know, free market free market people would say as far as preventing fraud, punishing fraud, and mm-hmm. disclosure. I mentioned in some of my in my recent blog, Pat Toomey, a Senate ranking minority member on ranking Republican on the Senate Banking Committee, has a bill that would have require disclosure of say what reserves say a cryptocurrency called a stablecoin is backed by, and I think that would be a good thing. But otherwise, it needs to leave people to be free to purchase, to make their own purchasing and selling and investment decisions. And really, I mean, if you say that the government needs to go after cryptocurrency and have special rules because there's investment value, well, which is the SEC's rationale. Well, what about comic books and wine and art and everything else that people will buy for an investment?
Yeah, that's interesting. I want to kind of slide over. You wrote a great book on George Washington. Do you consider him the greatest president?
I do.
Yeah. I think he might have been. Although, everybody talks about Abraham Lincoln. Well, Abraham Lincoln came at a time when they needed somebody like him, of course.
Right.
But George Washington started the ball rolling and just kind of, he almost created the presidency in a way, didn't he?
He basically did. I mean, there were a lot of things that the Constitution allows that were not in the Constitution, such as the idea of a cabinet. He was the one who had Hamilton and Jefferson hash it out. There's no, the cabinet isn't mentioned explicitly in the Constitution, yet it was an innovation from him that we've had through every president to the current one. And I think, Washington gave up power twice, just when he was basically offered to be in charge or in some sort of at the end of the Revolutionary War, and then he said no, he went home, after two terms as president. So there were a lot of things he established, and as far as the presidency.
Yeah, I mean, just an amazing man. I don't think he does get the credit he deserves. My colleague Ed Davis has a question for you here, John, if you don't mind.
Yeah, John, back to the crypto real quickly. Is crypto something I can hold in my hand?
No, it's not. Although you don't hold most money,
you can't put it in your wallet.
Yeah, because my point is,
it is in your digital wallet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay.
You can have. I mean, people do have a private wallet, so that's one of the things that makes it attractive is you can reduce payment costs. You don't need like an intermediary like a bank. If you have a digital wallet, somebody else does, you can. I mean, there are intermediaries like Coinbase and the exchanges, but you can. You can trade it wallet to wallet without, and it's maintained through the blockchain, which is just a distributed ledger. So as far as the transactions it goes through, so there's no centralized institution that has to hold it, as with like credit cards or other types of payments through the app. So that's one of the things that made it attractive, is just both the utility and paying and other things. And you have things now like non-fungible tokens that use the cryptocurrency blockchains that people are doing everything from art to restaurant promotions on.
And forgive me for saying it, but I'm not saying it is this, but when people put money into something, they don't get anything back that they can look at, hold, they're thinking scam is the first thing they come up with. And what is crypto actually backed by?
Good faith, I would think, right, John?
Well, no, it's more than that. It's that Bitcoin, there are only a certain number of given units in the computer code that you can, and you need to. That's the process of mining, finding the algorithms and running the computers to mine a Bitcoin. So it's the fact. I mean, it's the principle of being a fixed commodity like gold and other commodities that. that can't be, you know, that can't be inflated. You know, once all the units are mined, which they're estimating about 2030, there can be no more units created. They'll just have to trade the ones that are selling. So you have the idea of a fixed commodity rather than a dollar that can just be printed over and over and over again, and new ones can be created all the time.
Yeah, John. It's been a pleasure as always. Please promote, give us the name of your book again on George Washington.
George Washington, Entrepreneur, available at Amazon and many other book venues.
Terrific. I thank you so much. Great book and a great president. Looking forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks so much, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
All right, John, as always. John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, Biden, our president. He's no George Washington. He continues to say, though, he's led the greatest job recovery in American history. Well, let's get some thoughts on that from a couple of guys, the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, and most likely his brother, Angelo.
He's no Lance Armstrong on a bicycle either.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Golly, it's hot down here. It's humid outside, too. I guess that's the way it is in a lot of areas of the country right now, so we will not complain. Well, President Joe Biden, I mean, you listen to him, everything's great. He has repeatedly touted the country's job recovery since he took office, even saying earlier this week his administration's efforts created the greatest job recovery in American history. So we've got our two brothers, Ceresi, who I know both of them want to congratulate President Biden on the fine economic job that he's doing. We've got Andrew, the master barber, and we've got our eye in the northern sky, Angelo. Guys, I know you can't wait to talk and congratulate him. I'll start with you, Angelo. Aren't we so happy? Things are going so great. Joe tells us everything's economically is going just peachy keen.
I don't know what he's been smoking.
Whatever it is, can you send me a couple of packs of it?
Yeah, you know. Put us out of our misery, right?
I mean, what is he talking about? This is the worst it's ever been in my lifetime. I'm beginning to really believe it. You know, everything.
You asked him what the misery index is, and he asked ABC, you know, NBC, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Everything's going haywire. Everything. Everything this guy touches. Remember the King Midas story? Everything he touched turned to gold?
The Biden touch.
Everything Biden touches turns to, well, I better not say what I think, okay? So anyway, Andrew, I know you want to congratulate Joe. Why don't you go ahead?
I really want to congratulate him on his new poll rating at 32%. He's the lowest in history.
It's terrible.
Carter.
It's just absolutely
good.
Yeah.
The economy's good. You know, everything is great. He's out riding a bicycle yesterday, taking a tour. And
falling off.
But, you know, I was laughing at that because they were listing all the options that this bicycle has on it. They said it's unbelievable the options he has. They said they forgot the main one, the training wheels.
Yes, he did. PolitiFact rated a similar comment, Biden saying, you know, the country's he's the best, the greatest job recovery in American history. PolitiFact rated a similar comment in which he declared that the economy created more jobs in 1 year than ever before in the history of the United States of America. They actually gave him a half-true on that one. This is such nonsense. It's such nonsense. I don't know how people... Nobody buys it. Well, nobody buys it. Nobody. Not even his staff buys it.
Well, they said that he garnered 80 million or 81 million votes, right? The most ever?
Well, that one is, the jury is out on that as well. I mean, we've got, obviously... Hey, I that reminds me. Got to ask you guys. Have either one of you seen the movie by Dinesh D'Souza called 2,000 Mules?
I've heard of it. I got little snippets. They sent, some of my friends sent it to me.
Okay. It purports to show a video of people that had been collecting ballots and stuffing them into the ballot boxes in various locations in the middle of the night.
Locations, yeah, the mules.
The mules, right.
I actually watched that last night.
Did you watch it last night?
Yeah.
Oh, Ed. Okay, let me ask you, Ed. Tell me, were you able to kind of watch it objectively?
Yeah, of course I did.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give me your objective opinion about the whole thing.
When I watched it, I'm like, I compared it to what's going on with the January 6th BS right now. That if what this 2,000 mules, if what happened in here is true... And nothing to believe that it is not true. But these things did happen. Why isn't some entity or somebody taking this to the American people the way this stupid January 6th is being broadcast in our homes, whether we like it or not, to watch this thing? They want to give their opinion about what happened. There's no rebuttal or anything like that. You can't object or anything like that or hear the other side. Why isn't this film somehow being shown to the American public? And I believe it's in theaters and then you have to download it, whatever. But my point is the big three frequencies in TV all aired the insurrection for, what, 2 hours?
Oh,
that one night, 2 or 3 hours. So why can't this film that's an hour and a half be shown?
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Andrew?
Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew. No, I'm getting all my people mixed up. Andrew, did you have a chance to watch the 2,000 Mules?
No, Paul, I haven't, to be honest with you. I want to watch it.
Okay.
I understand that they arrested a few people already that from that movie were caught... You know, ballot harvesting. Okay. Now, the only thing I do understand about it is it took 2,000 mules to get one jackass elected.
Yes. Pretty good. I'm trying to think of the Attorney General was speaking of the January 6th committee. The 2,000 Mules documentary did come up.
Okay.
And he claimed that he watched the movie, but he felt that there was a lot of, and he was kind of dissing the movie.
Okay, well, I'm not going to diss it.
No, I know.
But I'm saying if this is true, why is this not mainstream? Just like and when we hear all these accusations about an athlete or a politician that they've been with women, I want the proof. You can talk all you want. I want proof.
Right.
This whole Biden laptop thing. Why are we not getting the proof? We keep hearing about it. Let's see it.
First of all, you know they're going to delay everything. Once the Republicans get back in office, you watch the Hunter Biden thing go quickly. Because right now, the Justice Department of the Biden administration is slow walking it. That's why. That's part of the whole thing right there, right? But the guy I was trying to think of was Bill Barr. Bill Barr said he watched that 2,000 Mules, and he had his doubts about certain things. I just wanted to throw that out there. But I'm telling you that this story will not go away. that there was a lot of fraud. And when you're dealing with mail-in voting, this is why I hate the whole concept. What do you think, Angelo? Do you think we ought to go back to just voting right in the precinct?
Absolutely. We should just go, you know, like you have Juneteenth, a national holiday now.
Right.
You have Election Day, national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's for 2 days, you go to your precinct and you vote. And, you know, absentee ballots can be done if you're handicapped. I mean, you know,
But we always were able to deal with handicapped people before. It's like, look at history. We were able to get people in that were handicapped to vote. We figured that out.
Right. I mean, you know, it's like I was an elections inspector here in Rochester, New York, and they got the sip and puff machines. You have the people come in, you know, wheelchair bound or whatever,
right.
And they
of course.
Can come in and cast their ballots. Other than that, they should go back to the old lever machine. You know, they can't even get elections inspectors to do it anymore because, the retired people, I mean, they made it so computerized, made it so difficult
for
people to understand what's going on.
That's another thing. A lot of older people are not comfortable with that whole thing.
Right, they're not comfortable with it. And then with what's going on with the double standards on the election that the you know, there was fraud, there was this, there was that. People don't want to be involved in it anymore. They've literally destroyed the democracy in our country. And that's the media and the DOJ, which is under the Biden administration right now.
Andrew, would you go back to precinct voting and forgetting about the mail? Now, here in Florida, we've been doing mail-in for a while.
Well, you know, Paul, here in Florida, the mail-in they do is a little bit different as far as identifying yourself when you're applying for it and everything else. Okay, a lot of the other states don't follow the same patterns that we do.
We seem to be successful.
You know, I'm looking at it like if June 13th or June, what do they call it today?
Juneteenth.
Juneteenth became a federal holiday. Why don't they make a federal holiday for Election Day?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what Angelo was
saying. Well, yeah, and especially if you had it on a Friday and made that, and then you also had voting on Saturday.
I guess I'm a traditionalist. People always were able, all these hundreds of years, were able to vote on the first Tuesday or whatever it was, they were able to vote even though they were working. Everybody knew the deal. You got to vote. You either did it at lunchtime, you did it before or after work. Maybe you got off from work because your boss allowed it. But they all got to the polls. No, I never heard anybody go, oh, I couldn't get to the polls to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul, if you look at it, in my lifetime, I don't ever recall them stopping the counting the votes at 10 o'clock at night and then starting to recount them again in the morning. They used to count them until they were done counting that evening.
Right. That's right.
Which
true.
Gave them amount of time to do their cheating.
Well, that's some of the things that are in the 2000 Mules
that they stopped counting and then they came back. Oh, okay. That doesn't make sense either.
Okay. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
I can recall.
Why can't we somehow get Dinesh D'Souza to come on, and sit down at a panel and have a completely honest accounting with what he's been able to discover? Maybe we can get past all of this if they do a completely objective, transparent talk with him about this whole thing. You know,
Paul, you may as well believe in unicorns if you believe they're going to do anything.
But we can get past it. We need to have confidence. When you don't have confidence in your own election, talk about undermining the country.
That's what they've done. They wanted that. This has all been done purposely to undermine our elections.
I mean, if you don't have faith in the very basic vote to put people in office, everything else falls apart.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Everything is falling apart.
It is. I mean, this is where I start to wonder, do people really want to create doubt? It's doubt that starts to break up the whole thing,
sure.
Right?
Especially when you only hear one side.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you start to doubt the integrity of your election, oh, my God.
You know, Paul, I used to hear people say a lot, I'm not bothering voting because my vote's not going to count anyway.
Yeah.
The way this is going on. But people have really changed that attitude. They're saying, I got to get there to vote because I've got to try and stop this.
Yeah.
They still have doubt of all the fraud that was out there. They made this happen.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is just like that kangaroo court, the January 6th, that they're investigating. It's a farce. And look what they did with Donald Trump. For 4 years, they cast a doubt as him being a legitimately elected president.
Right.
Right? Didn't they do that?
Yes.
And that's what they're doing. They're undermining our elections. They can't constantly keep doing that. And the media will not, you know, will not investigate it or, you know, and say, hey, look, this is what our country's being, this is what's happening in our country.
I think people are done with the January 6th deal. They're looking at what's going on right now. They could care less. They're going to try to buy their food with higher prices and their gas and the border situation. Everybody's looking at that stuff. So I don't care how they orchestrate it. They can get the greatest Hollywood producer in the world to orchestrate this thing. It ain't going to go over.
You know, Paul, cut out things. You know,
it's very simple.
It's a farce.
Go ahead, Andrew.
He has a 32% rating. That ought to tell you what the people are thinking.
Yeah.
Period.
I'd like to know who those 32% are.
I mean, if you watch any of it, you can tell they're reading teleprompters, it's orchestrated, and frankly, it's dull. It's dull. That's why nobody's going to watch it for very long. Anyway, guys.
I told you.
Huh?
Tell them to turn the teleprompter toward the camera.
Exactly.
We read it ourselves and be like.
Exactly. We don't need them. Hey, guys, it's always a pleasure to have both of you on. Thank you so very much, Angelo, as always. And Andrew, look forward to Wednesday with you, buddy.
You got it, my friend. You
have
take care.
Week.
I'll talk All to right. you Wednesday.
Thanks, guys. All right. Thank you very much. All righty. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we got a bunch of things. Among other things, the governing body for international swimming rules has ruled on whether or not transgender swimmers will be allowed. We're going to tell you about it.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to TAN Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on TAN Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back again. Final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. We thank you so very much for joining us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the TAN Talk Radio Network. And when you're able to come and listen to us, we thank you. But if you can't make it, you're doing other things, we understand. Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast, so you can go and listen to any show you would like. All you have to do is go to OurFreedomWorks.com. That's our website, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button. He's got them there listed from the most recent all the way back, and you'll see who the guest is in the top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, FINA, F-I-N-A, the governing body for international swimming, has approved new policies for transgender swimmers. They have gone into effect today. The gender inclusion policy only permits swimmers who transitioned before the age of 12 to compete in women's events. So you would have had to do it when you were in grade school. How many people have done that when they transition? I would think most all of them have transitioned at a later age. So in effect, they're trying to shut this thing down. They're trying to shut down the whole concept of LGBTQ of people that are men swimming in women's contests. It says here, transgender women and athletes whose legal gender and or gender identity is female can compete in FINA or FINA sanctioned events if they can establish to FINA's comfortable satisfaction that they have not experienced any part of male puberty beyond what they call Tanner stage 2 or before age 12, whichever is later. So that pretty much puts the kibosh on that guy that's been swimming around in that college and winning all those events, right?
The playing field is still level at that age. And you said before puberty.
Yeah,
it so, is. Yeah. So the playing field is equal.
Male and female are pretty much...
Well, 11, 12. I would have gone 10, 11.
You know, there are girls that are outrunning boys at age 8 and 9 and 10, aren't they?
Right.
You know, they sure. can do things just as
sure.
well.
Beat the crap out of you, too, if you know.
They do. So, anyway, this is rather interesting. I think they had to come across with something like this. They could not possibly allow transsexual men changing, you know, coming into women's things. They would dominate. They would dominate tennis. They would dominate swimming. They would dominate track, right? They would dominate women's weightlifting. So it just wouldn't work. And so finally, I think this is kind of commonsensical.
Ugh.
We'll see where it goes. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, speaking of sports, you and I sat together over at Norton's watching a debacle. The Tampa Bay Lightning lost 7-0 in game 2 up there in Colorado. And now they're coming back tonight for their first game at home, but they're down 2-0.
Mm.
I'm worried.
Well, are you worried about what the score was, or they're down 2-0?
You know, I'm worried that we're down 2-0 to a team.
Okay, well, we were down 2-0 against the Rangers, too.
True. But
the Rangers look like world beaters, too.
True.
So let's give the Lightning.
We didn't come out of a 7-0 shellacking going home.
Well, you know, if they win tonight, that game means nothing. That score means nothing.
True.
So if they lose, it means everything.
True.
So let's give the Lightning staff time to adjust, make the changes that they probably need to. You know, because each time those lines have to change to fit whatever the other side's doing.
In game 2, I think you would agree that Colorado dominated in almost every phase of
sure.
that game.
Yeah, everything, absolutely. Yeah.
Everything. So how do you, if you're the coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, what do you say? Now, you've got a group of experienced, twice-winning Stanley Cup players. I guess you don't say too much.
Well, I'm sure Colorado changed their game up a little bit to play the Lightning. Now the Lightning need to change their game up to fit Colorado.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know? If they go down 0-3, it's all but
it's
over.
It's kind of,
you know?
Yeah. We got to win
tonight.
It's
all but over. Hey, this is a must game. And,
it has to be.
You know, and if you win this game and you win the next game, now the pressure's back on Colorado because they don't want to be the Rangers.
Yeah. Well, I hope we win this game. Because I was thinking it would be a great series.
I was telling the guys in the morning because I noticed it watching the TV on Saturday night. The crowd much younger in Colorado than it is here. Much
it is younger.
Younger.
Yeah. Well, we're, of course,
there must be all those marijuana dispensaries out there.
We're sitting around, let's be honest, we're sitting around in a sports bar where the average age is about 65.
Well, I mean, you know.
Anyway, yes, I know what you're saying.
You got an infant, but probably a 2 or 3 year old sitting in a $3,000 seat.
Okay, it's time for our top 10, and we better get to it. The top 10, this is top 10 brutally honest greatest NFL quarterbacks. It's from Pro Reference Stats for historicalpost.com. Take it for what it's worth, all right? So here we go, number 10. John Elway, Denver Broncos. He gets a score of 206,
okay,
whatever that means. But he was a great quarterback. We know that. Number 9, Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
His number 9, his value was 208. All right, number 8. Guy from a little bit further back, Dan Marino. Remember him?
Yep.
Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
Great player. His value, 216. Number 7. How about Philip Rivers? Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He played for the Colts of Indianapolis. He played for the San Diego Chargers. His value, 218.
Yeah, he made his mark with the Chargers.
Yeah. That's right, he did.
And quite a few crappy teams.
Yeah.
You know, into the Chargers.
Number 6, Aaron Rodgers. He's still playing.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, of course, the Green Bay Packers. He's doing marvelous, as they say. And his approximate value is 218. All right. Number 5. Oh, boy, we're going back. Fran Tarkenton of the Minnesota Vikings. Do you remember him?
That was before my time.
Way before everybody's time.
And the dude loved to run around a bit.
He was back in the, I think, in the early 60s he started.
Not right.
His ranking is 233. He was a scrambler.
Yeah.
He was a little guy.
He liked to run around a lot.
He did. He did. Well, they all like to run around a lot, but I'm talking about the game.
Okay.
Number 4, Brett Favre. Well, of course, Green Bay Packers, New York Jets, Atlanta Falcons. Mainly Packers. Oh, he was with the Vikings for a cup of coffee, right? 259, his value. Number 3, Peyton Manning. I think everybody liked Peyton Manning. Very likable guy. Denver Broncos and Indianapolis Colts, 271. Number 2, Drew Brees. He recently retired, right?
Yes.
New Orleans Saints, 277. All right. What do you think? Who do you think was the greatest, brutally honest, greatest quarterback?
Probably that guy that's slacker that's in Tampa right now, that Brady guy.
Would you be surprised if I told you it wasn't?
Oh, come on.
Okay, I won't. It is Tom Brady. Of course. His approximate value is 316. And, of course, he's with the Bucs, but the New England Patriots, he's done just about – he's about – exceeded everybody in almost every department.
You know, and all those, it's amazing that guys like Joe Montana's not in there.
He's in the top 30, but he's not in the top 20. I would have put Montana in the top 10.
I think I would have put Montana ahead of Marino.
Yeah. I think Montana was one of the greatest of all time. I really do. Anyway, thank you so very much. We will be back Wednesday. Have a great day. Be safe. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hill.